I love that line. I actually I make these t-shirts on like these like t-shirt sites, and that was one of the first ones I made. I have the two little cartoon Tusken Raiders, and the quote is like, "Hey, could you do us a couple of favors?" And I love wearing that shirt because no one gets it but me and like five other people.
That's the most hold steady fan thing you can say is that no one gets it but like
Yeah.
me and five people.
Yep.
Some lusty little crushes. We have those always as hardcore matinee shows. I was down on my knees when the chaperone said it was time for me to leave. That's the last of my every song was all that wine was your friends are pretty cool. My friends were acting cool and there weren't any fight. Yes, they wanted to.
Okay, Massive Nights indeed. That's what we're here to talk about today. We're talking about the four Brooklyn Bowl Massive Nights shows at the end of 2021 there. And this is Hood Rat Recap. This is the podcast. And I'm joined today by Gasper. He's our returning champion. Let me introduce, I'm Mike of St. Paul. St. Paul must be the unluckiest saint of them all. St. Paul had it all when we called. The St. Paul Saints waved me through. If she wants to get involved, tell her to stay in St. Paul, but ask her if she has any. I can't remember the rest of those lyrics, but okay. And then we have Gasper, our returning champion. And remember last time we felt sorry for you, Gasper, because you didn't have any lyrics, hold steady lyrics for Queens.
Yeah, there's no hold steady lyrics from Queens.
But what about, I was thinking, what about the movie Coming to America, Eddie Murphy? He goes to Queens to find his queen, right? Doesn't he throw a dart at the globe and he hits Queens? And he goes, I'll find
and
my
he does,
queen.
actually. That's
I'll
right,
find my
yeah.
queen in Queens. Yeah. And the whole movie takes place there. And then our, so he's our returning champion. And then our challenger is Dallas. And Dallas, I always forget where you're from. Where are you from?
Coincidentally, I am also from Dallas, Texas, where Jackie Onassis said that it wasn't safe for Catholics yet. It's the only mention that we have in the entire catalog.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, it is a pretty good one.
That is a good one.
No, I just like saying I forget where Dallas is from because that's my favorite joke on Saving Private Ryan when he names off where every guy in his platoon's from, but he goes, I can never remember where Texas is from. But
we're know. Not too, we don't keep that too close to the vest down here about where we're from and our names, you know?
So we are here to talk about the four shows at Brooklyn Bowl. And Gasper, we talked about it on our last episode where we did the First Avenue shows. You've been to all seven shows in 2021.
Yep.
So, and then Dallas, you went to two of these shows at the Brooklyn Bowl, is that correct?
Yeah, two of the shows at the Brooklyn Bowl and also two of the shows in Minneapolis, which is where Gasper and I initially met.
Yep, and I think I saw both you guys there too. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. Who wants to start? Well, let's start with Dallas. You coming into Brooklyn Bowl. What'd you think? Like, did you get a? Where'd you stay? Did you stay in the city or?
Yeah, we stayed in Brooklyn, over in East Flatbush. Got in on Thursday night, but didn't have tickets to that one. And also, the Dallas Cowboys were playing, so we found a nice bar to watch that game at, which was our initial travel plan. And then, as far as Brooklyn Bowl, got there early on Friday, and man, what a hell of a place to have these kind of shows. It's a perfect size, perfect layout. Everyone that I dealt with there was, you know, above and beyond. Like, from the security people were nice, coat check was easy. They gave us tips on how to store some shit without having to pay for it twice, you know, just tucking things into other coats and things like that. So that was good. We don't have a lot of coat check down here. we don't need a lot of coat check down here, so it's it was an interesting experience with them. But yeah, I was in Brooklyn pretty much the whole time on this trip. We did go over into Manhattan to do some stupid stuff. We stopped by the Ghislaine Maxwell trial and walked by Epstein's house and other weird shit that only dudes of a certain age and disposition would think was kind of funny.
Yeah, just your typical New York trip, huh? Just seeing the typical sights there.
Exactly. You know, got to knock out the basics, you know.
And then how about you, Gasper? You had to come all the way in from Queens to the...
Yeah, it's some trek.
Now, how many times...
This is my favorite venue.
It's your favorite venue?
In this area. I love going to Brooklyn Bowl. It's a great time. It's all contained right there. The bar, the restaurant, the venue. It's just nice. You go there, you spend the whole night. I spend the whole weekend, really. Because I do this every year. I go to all four shows. So I love that place.
Now, do you go to any other, besides Hold Steady shows, you go to any other concerts there ever?
Yeah, I'll hit them a couple times a year. I'm trying to think of who I've seen there recently. I haven't gone to, unfortunately, with the pandemic, it's been a while. I think the Hold Steady was one of my first shows back in New York. It's certainly my first show back at Brooklyn Bowl. Prior to that, I think I saw Ben Folds at Irving Plaza. That was the only other show I saw since the pandemic. But I've seen a couple of bands there. They're a fun venue. They're they're getting pretty big now too, because there's one in Nevada and there's one, I think they put one in Tennessee.
There's going to be one, or it may already be there in Nashville as well.
That's what I'm thinking. It's the Nashville venue, yeah. The three of them. And
I've got tickets to that Hold Steady show as well, so I'll let you guys know how that one is.
All right. That'll be another episode for you to be. Yeah, I've walked by the one in Las Vegas in Nevada, yeah. And it kind of looks like the one in Brooklyn. They did a good job on the outside of it.
Okay.
Yep, yeah. It's right on the strip there.
You go inside or just on the outside?
I didn't go inside. I think it was kind of during the pandemic. But it's kind of right down by the Ferris wheel. So it's kind of in the middle of the strip there, kind of off it a little bit, yeah.
Gotcha. I'm curious if the layout's the same where you got like the bowling alley off to the right and... Like, I don't remember if they were bowling during the Hold Steady show, but I've been to shows where it's like you're watching the show and it's like you hear the pins knocking down. It's a little bit like bizarre. It takes some getting used to, but it's fun.
Yeah, I went to when I went to the show there, Tad like had a reaction because it got quiet between songs and all of a sudden somebody got a big strike and he just like whipped his head like it kind of shocked him a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about night one. That's right, the first night. So, Gasper, you were there, but Dallas, you were not there for night one, correct?
Yep, that is correct. We were jawing back and forth with some of the nicest NFL fans for four or five different teams just watching the Cowboys absolutely kill the New Orleans Saints.
Well, yeah, that was a good game to watch then. You have to see a win there. So, and Gasper, you were at night one. Well, you've been at every show. So,
yes.
Kind of walk us through it. What were your impressions?
So, they walked out, much like in Minnesota, actually. They walked out to the Barry Manilow, Looks Like We Made It, which was funny both times. And
and a killer tune, by the way, just to be honest.
Yes, absolutely.
Forgotten gem, yeah.
Actually, before we even get to that, I should mention the opening act was Zopa, which is Michael Imperioli's band that most people don't know from The Sopranos, which was interesting. Not my bag, but you know, he's talented. I'm not going to say he's not, but it was kind of weird seeing Christopher from The Sopranos up there on stage. So then they come out to the Barry Manilow song, and they threw out a couple of songs before. This was the night they were going to do all of Boys and Girls in America. It was, I believe, the 15th anniversary of Boys and Girls in America. So they kick off the show with Constructive Summer, which is always an awesome start. And then Barfoot Blues and Lanyards, and then went right into Boys and Girls in America. So that's pretty much the set. They play that all the way up to Arms and Hearts, which was awesome. Because you don't get Arms and Hearts very often. It's one of those songs you just don't, they don't play very often unless they're doing something like this. So it's, I love when you get songs like that. And during Chill Out Tent, you had Michael Imperiari and Augusta Koch, who I'm not familiar with Augusta Koch, but they came out to do the Chill Out Tent parts with Craig, which was kind of cool. I thought that was he was a good sport for coming out and doing that. And it was pretty well received.
Oh,
and,
I do.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was trying to remember what the Michael Imperioli connection is. He actually was in a movie called Stuck Between Stations. Did you guys know that?
Was he?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It was produced by the son of a famous Minnesota sportscaster. His son made a movie, like his first movie. And I don't know, I think you might be able to find it online, but it really, I remember when it was coming out, but I don't think it really, I don't know if it was in theaters or what, but it was pretty small when it came out, yeah.
So it looks like it's on Tubi, which I think is like a fourth tier streaming service, so that probably tells us the quality of the movie. That being said, I'll probably watch it when we get done with this tonight, and I'll update you guys on how it is.
I'd be curious if there's like any kind of other Hold Steady connection besides the song title.
Yeah. For whatever, I guess because it's on Tubi, I've never seen it, but it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry I interrupted you. So he came out.
No, not at all. So they wrap up the boys and girls portion and then finished out the set with Denver Haircut, Sequestered in Memphis, Ian Magdalena, which is the first time they've played that live, I believe, which was awesome. We didn't get the story about the title. But I guess we've heard that on the stream already. But that's me and Magdalena is a lot of fun live. I hope that makes it back often in the sets. And then Hood Rat and Slapped Actresses. And then they hit the encore, which I'm hoping they put this show out live like they did on the band camp for Minnesota, because they cover Long December by Counting Crows.
Ugh. They amazing.
Don't cover a lot of songs. It's, you don't see that happen much, and it was awesome. So it's when they come out, Craig actually takes the spot behind the keyboards, and he's like noodling around a little bit, like just messing around, and he starts playing Long December, and like you kind of chuckle about it, and then they launch into the song, and it was incredible. Like the whole place, just everyone knows that song because everybody sang along with that song.
Long December, there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
And then they follow that up with Ballad of the Midnight Rider, Midnight Hauler, rather, which I think I've maybe heard that song. This is probably the second time live. I think they call that their rarest song that they play. There's one guy, I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who always asks for that song, and I think he's kind of responsible for bringing it back. So this is the second time I heard them play that, which was very cool. And then they played You Gotta Dance and Killer Parties, and that's where it ended.
Wow.
They won.
Yeah, so that's great, getting a Long December and the Ballad of the Midnight Hauler. I mean, yeah, I've never heard Midnight Hauler live, because like you said, they don't play it very often. Mm. And what was the crowd was pretty excited about the Long December for the most part?
Oh, yeah. It was a huge sing-along. It's always a sing-along at these shows, but it was like, I think even the staff was singing. it was pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, I am not a Counting Crows fan. And I saw that video of that cover somewhere around 2 o'clock that morning as I was checking my phone before going to bed. And I was just like, God damn, like this is killer, you know? And Craig's little intro was like, you know, I've been having free time during the pandemic, much like everyone else, been kind of dusting up on piano. And then just to see him, you know, in a move that we don't see from him was a really cool thing. Even if you're just watching it on Twitter at 2:30 in the morning, you know, maybe cooler that way.
that's really cool. And then my only, I have a little Hold Steady Counting Crows story. When I went to see, actually it was the first time I ever went to see the Hold Steady live. They're playing under a turnpike in front of a Catholic church, this Basilica Block Party they have here. They have live bands. They were playing on one side of the church, and then at the same time, Counting Crows was playing on the other, the next stage over. So I went to the Hold Steady, and then they ended their set, and then I ran to the other side of the church, and I think I caught the encore, Rain Kings from Counting Crows. So, but I think I made the right choice watching the Hold Steady. I like the Counting Crows too, though. So that's pretty neat. And then I think they toured together too, actually, at one point. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know. One of our fans will know.
No, that's possible. I'm not sure.
And then we forgot what I was wanted to talk about is your guys' fandom. Gasper, last show we didn't talk about the origin. So why don't we start with you? How did you become a Hold Steady fan? What was your gateway drug into them?
So I have two answers to this. The correct answer, which my wife will always tell me, is that she introduced me to this band, which is true. She did. She got into them first. She said, "Gotta check them out. They're definitely gonna be something you like." But the story I like to tell is at the time I was watching Lost. I was a huge Lost fanatic, the TV show. And if you've watched Lost while it was airing, it was like this, there was like a little puzzle going on the side, like where they would be hints in the show that would take you to a website that would take you someplace else. And like, they're trying to figure out what's going on. So everything that happened in the show was important. And there's a scene, I forget which season, but the character Hurley is in a record store and he's flipping through records and he's talking to this girl and he's like, "Hey, the Hold Steady in town." And I'm like, "Wait, that's the band that Heather brought up." So I like to say that Hurley from Lost got me into the Hold Steady, but the truth is my wife did. But that's my story.
That's a good, yeah, I do remember Hurley saying that. That's pretty crazy. And the only other time I remember him on, were you guys Game of Thrones fans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really unexpected and kind of weird.
That was unexpected because I was having a day where I was just listening to the Hold Steady, like, I was just listening to him nonstop. And then I got to watch Game of Thrones. And then they start coming on the closing credits. At first, I thought I was imagining. I'm like, I'm listening to too much Hold Steady because this sounds exactly like the Hold Steady. So it was really shocking, yeah. So then, Dallas, that leaves you. What's your origin story into the Hold Steady?
Man, so this is a weird one and not one that I'm sure I want to admit out loud to, you know, the droves of Hold Steady fans.
This is starting out good. Let's hear it. I like the way this is starting out.
The first Hold Steady song that I ever remember hearing and then subsequently liking and just almost wearing the tires off of was Stay Positive. And I was just, which means that I got into it clearly later than a lot of us have, you know. And I heard that song, and as a punk rock kid and a hardcore kid, all the references that Craig made, I was like, holy shit, like this is gonna be up my alley, you know. And I really enjoyed that whole record, to be honest. And so then I went back to the earlier work to just check that out, and in a way that blows my mind, it didn't connect with me initially. And a couple of years went by, and I met up with an old friend that I hadn't seen in years, and we were talking. Somehow the Hold Steady came up, and he's like, "You know, Boys and Girls in America is amazing." And I was like, "Dude, I don't know if you're right about that." And so I spent the next week kind of going back through that, and I was like, "Son of a bitch, I am so incredibly wrong about this," and I wasted, I wasted 4 or 5 years that I could have had just enjoying these tracks, you know. It's actually the buddy Travis that came to Brooklyn with me that I think Gasper met. But yeah, so I got into it off of just hearing one tune and thought I didn't like some of the older stuff. And now, like, those songs are certainly etched into my souls, you know, like it's unreal.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, it's and that's the thing. People come into the Hold Steady at different times. You know, some people are new fans. Some people have been there since album one. I got into the last part of album two and kind of got into Boys and Girls in America. It was kind of when I first got into them hugely. So yeah, we all kind of get into them at different times. Okay. And so before we get into night two, I wanted to do a little segment here that we call
Certain Songs. They get so scratched into our souls.
Okay, well, Craig's wrong there. We actually call it Certain Shows Are Scratched Into Our Souls. So Mine's a two-parter. It starts. It's like a I'm a character in a Hold Steady song. It starts in Denver, ends in the Brooklyn Bowl. That's why I decided to tell it on this show. But I was just looking through Instagram one day, and I seen. I always wanted to go to a concert at Red Rocks, and I seen they were having Minnesota Night at Red Rocks. So the get these four groups here. Here's who it was. It was the opening act was an unknown act, a little lady called Lizzo that nobody really knew who she was. This was in 2017, September 2017. I remember I got the rooms September 1, 2, 3. So it was the beginning of September. So Lizzo was the opening act. Lifter Polar was the second act. I'd never seen Lifter Polar before. I wasn't cool enough to go see them when they were big. And so it's basically a pop and rap act because the third act was Brother Ali, who's a local rapper. And then the fourth act, was Atmosphere, whose Slug is a really good friend with Craig, and he was kind of putting on the show. So it was those four Minnesota. So I'm like, I get a chance to go see Lifter Polar in this rap show. Hell yeah, I'm gonna go do it.
An interesting lineup that is.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think he just put Craig in because. Oh, and then another reason I think he put Craig in because he's good friends with him. But the reason I went is because the Hold Steady was. The next night was, what's that called? Riot Fest in Denver. And it was the Hold Steady was playing the next afternoon. So I got Lifter Polar at night, you know, Red Rocks, which I wanted to go to, and Hold Steady the next night. So we fly out there. I flew out there for free on a buddy pass with this woman. She wanted to go out there. She knew nothing about Lifter Polar or Hold Steady. So we went out there, and we got to Red Rocks the first night. And I have this little Red Rocks is general. Have you guys ever been to Red Rocks?
No, not yet. It's on the list, but I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, it's got to be on your list. It's amazing. It's general admission, and they I guess I'll tell this little trick to everybody on the airway here. But they have this. I can tell you how it's general admission. And this first night, I didn't know how to do it, so I got 10th row, which is really good because there must be 200 rows in this place. It goes straight up. It's like you're in the middle of the Grand Canyon watching these concerts. And then at the bottom of the hill, they have this giant cattle call fence gate. And everybody kind of gathers there. So I was one of the – I got there real early, so we were like maybe the first 20 people to go. And then they open it up like an hour before the show starts, and you are going straight uphill. Like the venue is like a half a mile away, which isn't that – maybe it's like three-quarters of a mile away, which isn't that far. But you're going – you're in Denver or you're in Morrison, Colorado, right outside Denver, and you're going straight uphill. So I'm passing all these people. They got their hands on their knees. You know, everybody had been pre-partying, so drinking and smoking. So they're all hands on their knees like they're in an NBA playoff game, you know, exhausted. They're like – and I'm just passing by them. And because I was – so here's my trick. You got to have somebody in your group – had to be training for like a 10K or a 5K because I was just going up and I just finished a marathon like the year before. So I was still in pretty good shape. The woman I was with, she's just like, go on without me. It was like a dramatic movie, like a bad movie. So she's like, go save us a spot because she was out of breath. Everybody was out of breath. So I get in there and I got pretty good seats. I got like 10th row middle pretty much. And so then the show starts and I remember Lizzo came on and she was, like I said, she was pretty unknown. I mean, she's hosted Saturday Night Live, or not hosted, but been the music guest on Saturday Night Live. And I remember watching her, I was like, wow, she'd be as big as Beyonce, but she doesn't look like Beyonce, which isn't really fair. But I think that was the only thing holding her back. I go, I don't think she's ever going to make it. So I'm glad she did make it. And I remember one thing funny, she was like saying, she's like, I'm so nervous. I've never played in front of this many people before. And if you guys want to see the definition of self-confidence, look up Lizzo on Instagram because it's all self-confidence. So it's just funny that she was so nervous like that. So then she was on, and then she, you know, I don't know if the crowd seemed to like her. Nobody really knew her songs or anything. Shampoo, brush, get you out of my hair. And then she left, and then the second act was Lifter Polar, and they came out, Craig, Tad, and the Lifter Polar crew, And he was like, yeah, we don't, he's like, thanks for coming. We don't play shows that much anymore. I think it'd been maybe 8 years since they played a show at that point, maybe. Maybe something like that, or maybe just one or two shows within an 8 year period. But they came on and they were, and the crowd wasn't there for them. I don't think the crowd knew who they were. But they, to their credit, they were just going for it. Craig was doing his arm motions. They were just going for it like it was their crowd, which. I thought was really amazing. But then I was sitting down next to this guy, this kid, he was a younger guy, and I started talking to him. He's like, oh yeah, I'm from Ohio. And he's like, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but he goes, I'm here to see Lifter Polar. He goes, I know nobody knows, nobody here's here to see him. And I go, no, I'm here to see him too. I love Lifter Polar. And he goes, wow. And his eyes just wide open. He goes, and I go, are you going to the Hold Steady show tomorrow? I go, you must be. And he goes, no. He goes, I like Lifter Polar better than Hold Steady. I was like, what? That's what he said. So he's like, we're just kind of talking about Lifter Polar. And I go, yeah, I go, I don't think that many people are here to see them. So then they put on an amazing show. Like I said, they go for it. They totally go for it like it's their crowd. Then they get off the stage, and the kid sitting next to me, his name was Chris. He goes, hey, can you watch my seat? He goes, I'm going to go do something. I'm like, sure. So he leaves, and then Brother Ali comes on the stage. And Brother Ali was probably my least favorite out of the four, but he put on a really good show. He sounded great. He sounded really good, and I was like, wow, where did this Chris guy go? He's missing actually a pretty good show, because he'd been gone for 10-15 minutes at this point. So then he comes back, and I'm like, wow, Brother Ali was actually pretty good. You know, it was right before Atmosphere takes the stage. And he goes, oh yeah, check this out. And he shows me his phone, and there he is. I don't know how he did it, but he's backstage hugging Craig and Tad and hugging the whole group like he's long lost friends with them. He's like, yeah, I just asked if I could take a picture with them. And he's got pictures, like he's just like a bunch of pictures where he's just like hanging out with them. I'm like, how did this happen? And he's like, wow. Oh, he's like, I should have invited you too. I was like, wow, that's just crazy. So then, and I remember he told me he's from Ohio. That'll come back later in the story, but, So then that, and then Atmosphere came out, and they were amazing. They just, I was going to say they blew the roof off, but there's no roof at Red Rocks. It's, they almost blew the mountainside down or whatever, but they were amazing. They were really good. And I would probably make everybody throw their hands in the sky, and everything I said in this song would be classified, and all of y'all would be captured alive. I might have showed up when the party start, I might have got high with your bodyguard, I might have passed out at the airport bar, everybody wanna see a falling star. I might have thrown up in a rental car, I might have woke up in a reservoir, I might have got robbed at Mardi Gras. Everybody wanna see a falling star. 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 Once upon a time. So then the next morning I wake up early to go to Riot Fest, because I think the Hold Steady was playing at 1 p.m. or something. And so I decide I'm gonna walk. I look it up, it's 3.5 miles away. So I go, I always like walking to shows in case the wheels fall off. You know, I have a backup plan. I can just walk home. So I start walking there, and I'm following my Google Maps. I'm that nerd. I'm following it on my phone, the Google Map, you know, the walking map. And all of a sudden I'm like in this nice, clean, pristine Denver, and I'm stepping on the sleeping bag. And all of a sudden I look, and there's like a homeless person. Oh, I'm sorry. So I kind of move. And there's another homeless person. I'm like, I'm sorry. All of a sudden I look up. I'm like in the middle of this homeless encampment. I don't know how it started. So I kind of like, I'm trying to get, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then finally I'm just like walking through, because I just, you know, I'm just trying to walk, you know, not try to walk on them. So that goes. And then I get like outside Denver, and I'm walking down this two-lane highway, and I'm on a gravel. There's no sidewalk. I'm just walking in the gravel. It was just crazy for like maybe a mile and a half. And the whole time I'm wearing this black t-shirt that said hashtag dad rap. It's an atmosphere t-shirt. So I look like a geek that way. Some some girls came across me and they're laughing at me about that. So then I get there and I didn't know Riot Fest was in Denver. It's at a rodeo, basically a rodeo place. So it's all gravel. Again, the parking lot's all gravel. It looks like this dystopian. They're selling these leather goods. It's because there's a lot of heavy metal groups. Again, I watched some rap again. It was a pretty rap-heavy weekend. I got there a little early, watched a couple rap groups. And then so then I memorized where the Hold Steady stage was. It was like in the center, left of center in the back. So I went there really early, like 45 minutes before the show. There's one guy standing up there with his 13-year-old son. I'm like, am I at the right place? I double-check my map. I go, yeah, it says this is the Hold Steady stage. And so he's kind of like left of center, you know, the guardrail, the front row. So I go up and grab the guardrail because I've never been in the front row at the Hold Steady show before. And I'm like, I guess I'm the first one here. I go, is this the Hold Steady? He goes, yeah, we're here to see the Hold Steady. So, and then people start filling in. We start talking to him. This guy's having a conversation behind me about how he broke up with his girlfriend at a Hold Steady show. And I go, and I had just been reading Facebook before I came. And I go, did you just post that on Facebook? And he goes, yeah, I did. I go, I just read that. Because this was 2017, but we didn't really have the Facebook groups yet, you know? I mean, I don't think they were really around in 2017 as much. So we're talking to everybody, and it was just great. And then I know the Wi-Fi was called Charlemagne. It was funny. I don't know why. And then the other one, what was the other one called? Gideon. I think there's two Wi-Fis, and they're called Gideon and Charmaine. So we're there.
One's open to the public, and one is kind of protected. So,
yeah, that's a good point. So then it was interesting. You were just talking about the 15-year anniversary of Boys and the Girls. They were actually playing the 10-year anniversary of Boys and Girls. So they played the whole show, which I just love that. It was great. I'm in the front row there, and I didn't let go of the guardrail. I didn't want anybody to take my spot, so I'm just hanging on like I'm hanging on to the bar in a roller coaster. And people, you know, and the crowd's rocking back and forth, and it's like being on a roller coaster. And then the show ends, and, you know, I had been talking to everybody, just having a great time, and I'm just staring at the stage. I'm like, they got to do an encore. They got to do an encore. I'm just staring at the stage straight ahead. I'm in the front row, and they don't come out, I guess because it's a festival. And I had this happen at another Hold Steady show, I guess because it's a festival, there's no encores. So I turn around, I'm like, well, guys, I guess there's going to be no encore. And I turn around to talk to everybody. I'm like, I want to get your Facebook information so we can be friends forever. I turn around, and it's like I had a displacement of time. I turn around, and I see a couple solo cups blowing like tumbleweeds across this empty gravel parking lot. Everybody just left. They're just gone as I'm waiting for the encore. I'm like the last person on earth, but I just kind of, I walked out of there, just kind of floating out of there. Oh, and did I mention the woman she worked for the airline. She got me the free tickets, but she flew out the night before. She had to get back to Delta to get back to work. So she flew out. So I was by myself. So I just kind of walked across the parking lot. Like I just floated like a Spike Lee character. And I guess that's it for part one of my story. Cause it does tie into the Brooklyn Bowl show. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but we should get on to night two. So now, were you at night two, Dallas?
Yeah, I was at night two.
And this was a Friday night, correct?
It was a Friday night show. Night two, we got there. I don't know if I'm supposed to take over, but I'm taking over, apparently.
You're doing it.
Sure, go ahead.
Night two, we got there. Got there early, wanted to kind of survey the scene, you know, see what Brooklyn Bowl was like in real life versus pictures and things like that. Get our spots laid out. Pick up our merch bundles, which we inevitably lost at the end of night two. They're either in a bar in Brooklyn or in an Uber that I talked to the guy the next day, but we didn't really have a conversation. So, you know, it was one of those, which is kind of beautiful in its own way, I guess. It's a story about seeing a band in a bar, and honestly, that's how it should end. But yeah, night two was great. My buddy Travis, who I mentioned earlier, I had told him about the band that was opening on night two, which was Thick. And he had actually gotten into them basically on the plane ride there. thought they were pretty good, but then caught their set and was like, holy shit, like this is one of those deals where I guess the recording doesn't necessarily do justice to the stage presence or just the feeling in the room or whatever it is, which I'm sure we're all familiar with that in some regard. Unfortunately, and I do have to mention this because he bought a shirt from them and one of us lost it. And neither of us can pin blame on the other one because it's the way the night ended, you know? And so that shirt was in the merch bags, which got lost as well. If that was my fault, I'm sorry, Travis. But I've absolved it now by talking about it on the internet. But yeah, so the opener for that was great. Actually ran into Gasper when I was coming back from the restroom, and I think he was still eating dinner. We hadn't communicated about meeting up, and we just happened to have that kismet, you know? So that was cool. Met his wife, which was also very nice. And then we headed over towards that area to get ready for the show. And Gasper, if you want to pip here, I'll let you, and I'll interject whenever I want to, or however you want to do it.
Cool. Just one thing. That's night three.
Son of a bitch.
You were describing night three.
But I think that's okay, because night two, I think you could probably get away with just a few mentions.
Sure.
Night two, I jotted down a few notes on St. Lennox opened, which that was my first time seeing St. Lennox, and that's where I learned about St. Lennox from. And I went on and on about him at the last podcast, but it was a great show. He played a couple of highlights, Offers Are a Shiver, which is one of my favorite songs by him, Bethesda, and Thurgood Marshall, which it still blows my mind that he wrote a song about Thurgood Marshall. Like this upbeat, happy song, and like, this is kind of cool. The band walked out to I Got a Feeling by the Beatles, which I believe they said was largely because they've all been watching that documentary like everybody else right now. They opened up with Positive Jam, which is always fun.
Unreal. Opening up with Positive Jam and then following up with Adderall. And I don't know that I've seen Adderall live before. I'd have to go back and look. But
it's not one that comes up often. I've seen it a couple of times.
You know what?
It's been more lately.
They played it at the smaller show in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's my buddy Travis, my traveling partner for this trip. It's his favorite tune. And when they kicked off Positive Jam, we lost our shit, because what a great way to open a set. And when they kicked off Adderall, like, I've never seen a grown man as happy as I did in that moment. And honestly, like, I know this is a lot about the bands and the songs, but like sometimes when you just look around yourself at a Hold Steady show and you see people of all ages and spaces in life, like just enjoying the absolute hell out of something. That's why I'll travel to three cities and go to seven shows for the same band every year. It's because, like, that shit is just unattainable in life, you know? There are very few places where you can get that spread of just, like, uninhibited joy, I guess, is probably the best way to say
it. So much joy. Well said, yeah.
So much joy.
So much joy. Perfect. I agree with everything you said there. So Adderall number two. Wow, that's amazing. I don't remember him playing that ever that early. That's crazy.
They also followed it up with Chips Ahoy, which everyone loves. So like, I mean, literally, yes. You're three tracks in and you're like, okay, like, what are you gonna do next? Yeah. You know.
And then On With the Business. It looks like at number four.
Right, Stevie Nicks, Multitude of Casualties, Spices, Sapphire, Swish, Separate Vacations is one of the ones that I highlighted, because that's another one that you don't get it very often. It's that's actually off of an EP, right? That's not even on record. If I'm
it's on,
right.
is it on the long version of Heaven Is Whenever? Is that what it is? Is that?
That might be right. They might have, when they re-released it, they might have. I knew it from something they did for a radio station.
I think it was on the B side of a 7-inch too, and I'd have to go over to my records and look at that. But I think it's a B side on a 7-inch thing that like everyone like ended up knowing, but was never on a
right.
on a major release, which is wild ass, you know. And then I don't want to understate the Swish being played, because what a song to just make a room light on fire, you know. Like that song on a recording has live energy, so when you see it live, it clearly
it's amazing.
Has more energy than that, you know.
It's got the Tusken Absolutely. Raiders, who are making a big comeback right now with the Boba Fett series, so.
Yes.
Unless you post in certain corners of the Hold Steady's Pro Board where people think that line may not have been creative or well thought out, but you know.
Yeah, I've heard people say that. I don't get that.
It is the internet, and everyone's going to have their point of view, and most of Craig's references are like so almost in jokes or references that you have to really know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you drop a Star Wars reference, I get it. It's accessible. But damn it, sometimes things can be accessible and be all right, you know?
I agree.
I love that line. I actually I make these t-shirts on like these like t-shirt sites. And that was one of the first ones I made. I have the two little cartoon Tusken Raiders, and the quote is like, "Hey, could you do us a couple of favors?" And I love wearing that shirt because no one gets it but me and like five other people.
That's the most Hold Steady fan thing you can say, is that no one gets it but like
yeah.
me and five people.
Yep. Okay, so then
you want me to just run down the set, or
yeah? Do you see any other songs in there that jump out at you?
I'm gonna interrupt again.
I mean, to kind of sum them up, so we're not going through every single.
Yeah. So, Lord, I'm Discouraged live is always a special time. It's a unique song in the canon. It kind of takes a different approach, and you know, if you've ever been with a big group of people that understand the same. I don't know, broken brain feelings that you have sometimes, like that tune really highlights it and kind of allows that to feel okay. And then in that action of highlighting it and letting it be okay, kind of fixes some of it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
great. All right. So, and then Gaspar, you have any other thoughts on that set list? Anything? For night two?
I think we're good there. I mean, they play a Tyler Crew, Weekenders, One for the Cutters, which we talked about last time. I always love when they play that.
Oh, yeah, always.
Great.
I love that song because I feel like that's a... So many of the Hold Steady songs call back to the ongoing story or touch the story, and like that's a self-contained story to me. Like, it's its own thing, and that's why I love that one so much.
I think it's also worth mentioning... towards the end of the last three songs, so they played Little Hood Rat Friend, which another song that's just a great time, and then finish out the main set with Resurrection, which is just like, it's like, okay, if you guys don't come back out tonight, like, I won't complain. I really want you back out tonight, but if you don't come back out tonight, I can't complain, you know?
Especially they go into, you got the 1-2 punch, the Crucifix and Cruise into Resurrection, which is...
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
They did that
exactly.
in Minnesota, too.
It seems like they're doing that more lately, which it just makes sense. Yeah.
I like that connection. I'm trying to think of the, what's the Beatles song that goes from one song into the next? There's a specific one I'm trying to think of that, like, they go together. Well, actually, it's not the Beatles. I'm sorry. It's Led Zeppelin.
Oh.
I break her into Living, Loving, Made. Like, that's that type of connection.
I just know the Queen, We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions. That's the
same idea. Yeah. It's like, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
Maybe too big, maybe overdone. Always want to hear it, you know?
Yep.
Like...
yep.
Exactly.
And What about the encore here? We get some parade days in the for the first song in the encore. That's a little unusual. They really slowed it down there. Huh?
Yep, they did that in Minneapolis as well. On one of the, I think in one of the 7th Street shows, they did parade. Yep. They came back to parade days, right?
Yep.
But yeah, that's a great song off the new record. It's one of those, like we're saying, like one of those ones that are, it's so different than the rest of the record, and I hope that continues to get played often. It's a great song.
That kind of brings to mention that I think as they've honed their identity throughout records, I think they've also been honing their set list as their identity adapts. Because, like, if you look at these set lists over the weekend, we got 4 or 5 songs, maybe 6 songs, that you don't always get, but I think we're going to start getting more often now.
Good point.
And it's we talked about this the last time, where it's like what goes away with the new stuff that comes, and it's like you're excited to get that new stuff, but like Heaven Is Wherever doesn't get the love it used to. I learned about the band towards the end of Stay Positive and saw them every time they played New York for Heaven Is Wherever, so I was very used to hearing those songs all the time, and now it's like a rarity to get them. So it's a give and take, because you lose those songs, but you're getting the new album is just so incredible. Like, you want to hear all of it.
Well, and while we're talking encore, as long as Mosh Pit Josh is selling merch, it's always good to know that you're going to hear Stay Positive, and you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it in a way that,
at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to hear it in a way that just, it changes every time, because I think that's the entire point of that dynamic. And I'll be damned, it's just been as good every time I've ever seen it happen as it was the time before, and as it will be the next time, you know?
You know what,
I mean, at this point, like, you have to have Mosh Pit Josh do that part. Like, it wouldn't be the same without him.
I know, and the very first time I ever saw him was at when I was Brooklyn Bowl 2018, which I'm going to talk about later. But for some reason, when I first saw him, I didn't know who he was. I thought he was the guy from Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I don't know why. I just thought he was the guy. Because he kind of sounds a little bit like him, right? I don't know.
Hey, you know what? Let's just say that he is. We'll keep that going in your head.
Okay, folks, it's come to that time in the podcast where I start making silly declarations like I just did. It's time to end the podcast. We covered nights 1 and 2 of massive nights from the Brooklyn Bowl. We have another podcast. It's out either now or coming out shortly, depending on when you listen to this. And that will cover nights 3 and 4. We split it up. There's not that many live shows. We know there's not that many live shows, so we're trying to spread it out a little bit. But we do have some plans. We have some other reviews coming up planned, and I think they'll be really exciting to you. That we got some really interesting reviews, Hold Steady related. And I know there's been some Hold Steady podcasts out there, but there really hasn't been a steady Hold Steady podcast too often. So we hope we can be your most steady Hold Steady podcast. And so just keep on this feed, and we will have some great new shows coming for you. Let's cue the outro music, shall we?
There is so much joy in what we do up here. An Ybor City is thrice speedy, but they throw such killer parties. Killer parties almost kill me. Killer parties almost kill me.